Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
This week on Rewind, your week in review, we have your recap on what was approved and denied this week during the Joint Finance Committee on issues related to veterans, job apprenticeships, and more. Plus, why the Green Bay Packers want lawmakers' help for paying for the 2025 NFL Draft. And we now know when a trial will be held over a lawsuit surrounding the fake elector scheme in Wisconsin. All this and more on Rewind, your week in review for May 26.
Hi, I'm Emily Fannin.
I'm J.R. Ross.
Well, I know we usually recap politics, which we're going to do, but this is more of a sports edition, I would say, J.R., because we're talking about two of the most beloved teams in Wisconsin made some news with some politicians, basically calling on lawmakers for state funds and public funds. Let's start with the MLB commissioner making a visit to Milwaukee on Thursday, talking about the stadium renovations that are needed, which would extend in return the Brewers lease at American Family Field. So Commissioner Rob Manfred sent a serious message that these repairs at AmFam Field will require public funding to extend the Brewers lease. And he said he was pretty confident that lawmakers will figure out a plan to provide the needed funding. Now, his visit came on the same day that Milwaukee County Board Supervisors issued a rare unanimous vote against putting any more county money towards renovating the ballpark. So we haven't really heard much about where this package is going. We know that top Republicans say basically, you know, we're not going to do Governor Evers' plan. It's been almost kind of quiet for a little bit about this because shared revenue has been in the news, et cetera. There's a lot of other things going on in the state legislature. But this, in a sense, from this visit, is almost just, it's not a dire warning because he understands that I think most people think that the Brewers will stay here. But looking at what happened with, you know, Oakland, with the team projected to move to Las Vegas, he kind of warned about that scenario, but he's hoping that doesn't happen here.
So if you listen to Manfred's comments really closely, he used the word obligation quite a bit. And what he meant by that is, so one, Wisconsin taxpayers, well, in a five-county area, funded largely building Old Miller Park, now American Family Field. There was a stadium created to oversee that facility because the state owns a great chunk of it. That deal has an obligation for the district board, funded with public dollars, to maintain the stadium. If you look closely at the language, it requires them, the board, to keep the stadium in like the upper tier of ballparks. That means if ballpark A, B, and C offers X, American Family Field is supposed to have it as well, paid for with public dollars from this board. What he's saying is, you guys signed a contract. You have to kind of come up with this money. Now, I don't know if he was threatening what would happen if we don't as a state, but you could walk through in your head, okay, if we say, no, we're not going to do this stuff, will there be a lawsuit? Would the team move? Lots of bad things. And the thing that they kind of have us over the barrel with is the state owns most of Miller Park, well, American Family Field, sorry. If there's no baseball team there, that is a worthless building that costs hundreds of millions of dollars with no anchor tenant to draw revenue. The thing about getting it done too is shared revenue is taking up all the oxygen in the building right now. The Joint Finance Committee has been doing its work, but not like heavy lifting just yet. They always save the big stuff for the end. But shared revenue is kind of like where the attention is at. Until you know what shared revenue is going to happen, what's going to happen with that, you kind of can't do American Family Field because you have to know what's available, how is it going to impact Milwaukee County, and then the county board vote. I listened to Sheldon Wasserman, who's a former Democratic lawmaker, now on the board, saying basically we were lied to. And I didn't get a chance to talk to him, obviously, but my interpretation of that was he's referring to the fact that we were told back in the mid-90s, you do this sales tax, this five-county area, it's going to pay for the ballpark, it's going to last this many years, going to take care of the maintenance period. Well, the tax kept getting extended because it got more and more expensive to build that ballpark. And now we're on the hook for more money to maintain a ballpark that people feel like we've already paid for. So yeah, Milwaukee County, you say we don't want to put more public money into it, but I don't know who has a choice with what's going to happen unless the Brewers walk away. from Milwaukee.
Right, and it's important to note this is conservative and liberal mm-hmm. board members who unanimously voted for this because they're basically saying, you know, we already have enough financial challenges right now. I mean, we heard it this week from Milwaukee leaders, from the county executive, from the mayor of Milwaukee, that they don't really want to spend any more money on a privately owned professional baseball team. You also mentioned the stadium tax. I mean, people were really not pleased when yes. that went into place. That was implemented in all, like, five counties surrounding, including Milwaukee County. That expired. People thought it was over with, but now they're hearing this news again that you want to take, you know, our tax dollars again for these renovations. That's what's going to be the tough selling point. And it's important to note that Manfred didn't really say that Milwaukee's going to leave, but him just hinting at bringing up the whole Oakland, you know, scenario, and among other officials talking about that, it really just remains to be seen when a deal can be reached.
And don't forget with the Milwaukee Bucks deal. So the county lost, I think, $4 million a year in shared revenue as part of that. That's a county contribution. Now, the Bucks being there generates sales tax, collection, everything else. I don't know what the – there's an equal one-to-one trade-off. But they're already losing money because of that. So if you're going to add something for Miller – American Family Field, on top of that, that could be kind of hot, tough to swallow.
Right. And we also had another visit, or I should just say, just start with the news first, because we had a visit from the NFL commissioner over Green Bay hosting the NFL draft in 2025. Now, before I kind of get into the details of this and what they're asking for, it's almost, this is kind of like a pregame discussion right now. They're not even at the first quarter with this coming here because it's 2 years away, but they want to have the money set aside, which one lawmaker from Green Bay is specifically asking for, $2 million to set aside to kind of help with all the planning and all the things that are going, all the visitors, all the attractions, etc. So on Wednesday, the Green Bay Packers offered estimates on roughly how much it would cost to host this big event and how much money the team expects the event to pump into Wisconsin's economy. So in order to stage this massive event, which the team and local officials forecast will bring about 250,000 visitors to Green Bay and pump in roughly about $94 million into the economy, the Packers called for state lawmakers to help cover some of the expenses. Republican Representative David Stephan of Green Bay submitted a formal request on May 19th asking for the next state budget to include $2 million to cover for draft costs. Let's just first take a listen from Mark Murphy, who is the CEO and president of the Green Bay Packers, about this topic and kind of his, I guess, elevator pitch to lawmakers on this.
This will be the largest event that Green Bay has ever hosted, and the economic impact will be well over $90 million for the entire state. It'll be a two-year-long commercial for the benefits of Green Bay and Wisconsin. So we think it's well worth the investment.
So this is two big asks from two big teams in the same week, two big visits. But this one specifically might be a little bit quicker movement, I will say, because next week on Thursday kind of anticipated that this motion by Representative Stephan could be brought forth before the Joint Finance Committee.
Yeah, so Stephan asked to have this money put into the budget of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to set aside $2 million in a grant for them. Howard Markline, the co-chair, said at the time, well, this could come during tourism. Tourism is up on Thursday before the committee, reading the papers that the fiscal bureau prepared for lawmakers to kind of delve into the issues with tourism. It talks about the draft and the request, so you might see something put in there to help fund this. I think this $2 million would cover a part of the $7.5 million cost overall. The Packers can put in $1 million. Partners raised $4.5 million. The Packers, they'll lose money on this deal, but it's going to be a good return for the city and the state if they come and have this done.
Right, and of course this comes when things look financially healthy right now for the state. The latest projections dipped out a little bit of the state's projected surplus around $6.9 million. A lot of people are asking for a lot of money right now. We also have to craft the next state budget, so a lot of things happening right now. Speaking of the Joint Finance Committee, let's kind of just recap what they took up on Tuesday and Thursday. Let's start with Tuesday. Republicans approved $19 million in funding for youth apprenticeship grants, along with career and technical education incentive grants, but that's not really where the fireworks happened. Democrats actually pushed to fund a study to examine the economic impacts of paid family leave. And at one point, Republicans turned off Representative Evan Goyke, a Democrat from Milwaukee, his microphone while he was advocating for the issue. Now, Representative Zimmerman argued that paid leave was just another way that taxpayers would end up paying for those who didn't want to work. That's been a longstanding argument for Republicans. And you have to note that Republicans after they removed this provision, paid family leave, from Governor Evers' budget. They typically don't want lawmakers to talk about issues. Let's just kind of see how this played out between Goyke and Zimmerman during that committee hearing.
I'm sitting here listening today to this, and this is lunacy personified in some ways. I mean, we have a shrinking pool of workers, and the answer that we're hearing here is, let's continue to find more ways that those, that shrinking pool of workers, are going to support those who don't really want to work or can't work. Let's have a serious conversation about solving Wisconsin's workforce problem and not going on rants and tirades about things that actually would result in putting more burden on the hardworking people in Wisconsin and would not actually move the needle in terms of fixing our problem.
It's a rant? Yeah. Am I yelling? Well, kind of always, but yeah, today. It's true. This is the truth. We had the slowest growth decade ever. It is our contention that telling and treating families with dignity, showing through public policy that if you decide to locate here and you decide to have a family, we will set up an insurance policy for you. That through your earnings, we will facilitate time off paid when you need it.
So speaking on paid family leave, lawmakers also held a roundtable the next day, just trying to keep the issue out there, because also important to note, we had a Republican gubernatorial candidate, Tim Michaels, last year, who advocated for the issue. We also had an anti-abortion group who was open to the idea as well. And then all of a sudden, Republicans said, no way, Jose. So it's kind of an issue that we saw some, that maybe this could be a bipartisan issue to extend this in the state, but it just never followed through.
No, and remember, so when the Republicans took stuff out of the budget, they had that list, the 445 pieces that you can't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So the paid family medical leave piece was part on that list. This is a study of the benefits of a paid family medical leave.
It is slightly different.
So yes. The Democrats argue this is not the same thing, but this is how much Republicans do not want to go back in this conversation and get this thing moving through. But Democrats are going to try and find ways to keep bringing this up. It's a popular issue, and they're going to keep talking about this and child care and other things as we go through this process.
Right, and that's typical that they keep advocating for on their list of what they want to include in the budget. The committee on Tuesday also voted to require the Department of Veterans Affairs to hire an outside contractor to study the troubled state veterans home at King to find ways to improve residents' life there. All right, moving on to Thursday, not as a super, I guess, firework day in joint finance, but they did set aside $4 million in Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation for talent attraction, retention initiatives, including $2 million targeted for veterans. So those were among the things that they took up.
What you're seeing with finance, which is I'm kind of paying attention to, is we have this massive surplus of one-time money. They are going through each agency and trying to squeeze every GPR, general purpose revenue dollar they can. So general purpose revenue is the state's main checking account. Your sales tax, income tax, corporate taxes pays for, you know, aid to schools, Medicaid, those kinds of things. They're trying to save as much, even though we have this big surplus, save as much as they can, and they're going through, and the Evers wants positions A, B, and C. They're saying, you've got vacancies here. We're going to give you those, use those vacancies to cover your request for these jobs. They're trying to find ways to save money, which might sound kind of crazy, but even this big surplus, we have roughly $2.2 billion in ongoing money that we can spend. So yes, it's a big surplus. It's one time, though. So to avoid, we talked before, to avoid the big hit in out years, that $2.2 billion has to cover Medicaid, which if you don't do the expansion of the Affordable Care Act, which Evers wants, it's expensive. Schools, which is going to be the benchmark for Evers. You have to give him enough money to make him happy about schools, and then find money for a tax cut. How do you do all that stuff with $2.2 billion when people are going, well, we got $7 billion sitting there. Why are you, but that's because it's not ongoing money. So that's really their kind of their, watch that as they go through this process. How are they trying to save money to free up cash for that big thing? And then, next week, building commission, how much cash they put of that big surplus into the building commission to pay for projects, because then you avoid interest costs down the road. annual payments, it frees up even more money for the state going forward.
So a lot of pieces to the puzzle here, and one that you already talked about before the show is they got to figure out this shared revenue thing before they really dive into the big issues on joint finance. This week, there was the Senate hearing that we talked about last week after Voss said negotiations are over, Assembly passed their version, but Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux says, well, we're not done yet. So they held a committee hearing on Tuesday. Milwaukee leaders testified, including the mayor and County Executive David Crowley, and they really just painted a picture of how dire their financial situation will be if this doesn't pass, including the ability to raise their sales tax in the city and county. So they kind of warned lawmakers about this, which was on the new committee, the Senate Committee of Shared Revenue, about the deep cuts they'll be forced to make. That's including police, fire departments, libraries could close if this doesn't go through. So both the Assembly and Senate are still currently split right now over who can raise taxes in the city and county. Is it going to be voters that approve this, or is it allowing the Common Council and the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors? Let's just listen to Senator Dan Fion ask a question of, what if? What if this doesn't pass? And one of the bill sponsors, Senator Felskowski, kind of lays out some of those dire situations that would specifically hit Milwaukee. Let's take a listen.
One question I have is, so what happens if we don't pass this bill?
They would have to start cutting their budgets. The city does have some pension reserve money and some ARPA money left over, so they might be able to limp through for a year. But then at some point, cuts are going to start to happen. They can cut the library, which is about $25 million, or now we go for police, fire, and EMS. They are projecting cutting 545 police officers and about 209 firemen if there isn't an increase so that they can offset their pension costs.
Thanks to this bill, for the first time in over 20 years, the city of Milwaukee is poised to see an increase in the shared revenue payment that we receive from the state of Wisconsin. Through the ability for the city to enact a 2% local sales tax, we'll have the ability to raise local revenues. The city strongly requests the bill be amended to enable the Milwaukee Common Council to enact the local sales tax component. A referendum, though, adds significant element of uncertainty, and next year none of us want to revisit all the work, the hard work that we've been doing to plan that has brought us to this point now.
So we heard a little bit of the numbers from Felskowski there, but Milwaukee's fiscal cliff that they're going to hit and what their budget office estimates is a $156 million hole by next year. And city officials estimate cuts to library, police, and fire services can range anywhere from 10 to 25%. And that alone would result a loss of anywhere from 355 to 890 employees. So these are what they're trying to drive home to lawmakers. But it also comes as county officials this week, I would say a coalition. There was two separate letters from groups and leaders in the county that are asking for even more. And what I mean by that is that they're asking to raise their county sales tax instead of 0.35% in the current bill. They want to be able to levy a 0.5% sales tax. So a lot of discussion, still nowhere end in sight, but we'll kind of, wait and see. But they are asking for quite a little bit more.
Yeah, and so with sales tax collections, actually Department of Revenue kind of collects it and sends it out to local government. So if you get really technical, the 0.375% is really challenging to collect and divvy up because it's an odd number. Even numbers are a lot easier to do. So you might see a tweak in that bill before it's all said and done to make it easier. I'm not sure they're going to give them that much more money, like 0.5% on top of the 2% for the city. That's a lot. But again, shared revenue, it is the big thing that's holding up getting it. No. There's work on the budget being done, the background on school aids, on tax cuts. They're not like just sitting around waiting, but this is a thing where until this is done, how do you build the rest of the budget, right? That's the challenge here, and we're also getting a time crunch. Finance wants to be done by the Thursday before Father's Day weekend. That gives us 3 weeks from yesterday. So
that's what they want.
That's what
we'd all like.
That then gives them time to draft the budget bill the week after Father's Day, be on the floor the last week of June, and pass it before July 1st. How do you get that bill done? Because as of yesterday, I had not seen an executive session posted for the committee in the Senate that heard the bill. You need an exec in that committee, then a floor vote. There was thoughts of maybe they could go next week in the Senate, but probably not to the week after. Now you're getting, like in that crunch we talked about, that how do you get this bill done before the budget and be able to build the rest of what you're doing around this proposal.
Another big question is, what about those policy provisions, mm-hmm. that GOP wish list that were several in there targeting Milwaukee, but all local governments, really restricting their control when it comes to how many firemen they have to hire. Mm-hmm. Even with Milwaukee specifically, Johnson kind of pointed out the targets against diversity, equity, and inclusion, there's a provision that prohibits the city from funding those certain positions. He really almost kind of begged lawmakers, like, let's leave this out of the discussion, but kind of just remains to be seen if that is in the final bill. And once again, this is going to be a give and take approach. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get everything they wanted, and Republicans are going to fight hard to keep a lot of these things in place, especially the ones that deal with Milwaukee crime and how they can spend their money, because they want to see some solutions right now, because Milwaukee is not looking too hot, and we know crime also increases over the summer just naturally. More people are out and about, et cetera. So we'll see what happens.
The solution is there. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks. If Republicans can give on the referendum component, they could get something from Evers big. What's their ask going to be? But there's a dance in the Capitol. Every deal dies 1,000 deaths before it's done. There's got to be some drama. There's got to be one. And the houses, they like to try and one-up each other. So there's just this kind of, like, it's like watching a circus and a drama at the same time, sometimes in the Capitol. And there's just all this stuff going on, all this noise. It'll get done. The question is, when do they finally, like, embrace that path that is so obvious most people I talk to get this thing done?
Right. And also, looks like we're going to look ahead to 2024. It's going to be a little bit of busy season. Of course, there will be a presidential election right around the corner. But a judge set a new trial to begin in September of 2024 over the fake elector scheme here in Wisconsin. So it's, in a sense, JR, 2024, leading into a next presidential election, we're going to be talking about those who challenged the 2020 presidential election. So what I'm talking about is Dane County Judge Frank Remington set the trial for September in 2024, which is weeks before Democrats and Republicans must submit their list of electors to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And this is the trial over actions of 10 Republicans who posed as fake electors for Donald Trump in 2020. And yet, I mean, you just have to point out that this is just going to be so close to the next election, too.
So,
pretty lengthy.
That's if the entire court calendar goes as planned. Courts sometimes get a little askew.
No.
There's also a motion to dismiss that's due this summer in June. That could end everything. But if you hit all the target dates, yes, we'll go September of 2024. The plaintiffs who are seeking $2.4 million from these 10 electors and two attorneys, they want it done before October, because October of 24 is when you have to submit your slate of electors to the state. They want a ruling that these 10 can't ever be electors ever again because of what they did in 2020.
All right. To be continued. Also, we're going to recap kind of some positions in the Democratic State Party, because we now know that Ben Wickler will be unopposed. And this comes as state conventions are coming up in a few weeks. So he is the chair currently, and he'll be unopposed at the state convention in a few weeks, like I said, for a third two-year term. We've often talked about how he's been a powerhouse machine for in fundraising for the state party, so why not stick along? But that's in addition to many non-contested races for many other party officials. So that includes Felisa Martin, who's seeking re-election for first vice chair. That includes Trisha Zunker, who ran for the 7th Congressional District in 2020, is going to run again for the second vice chair. Randy Udell is running for another term as treasurer. You see Kim Butler there. She was also chair of the 7th Congressional Democratic Party, and she is running for secretary. This also comes as party activists will also elect someone to fill out the term on the Democratic National Committee, which Alex Lazary, who ran for U.S. Senate last year, formally announced plans to run earlier this year, and he'll face Jim Carpenter. So a lot of action of moving parts here, JR.
So, look, no shock that nobody's going to challenge Ben Wickler. He's been a prolific fundraiser. And we saw that, again, reports were filed recently by the party. So because of the special election, the Senate seat that was done in April, there's a special kind of report that was filed by parties and candidates. We saw just shy of $13 million raised between January 1st and April 26th by the Democratic Party, less than $3 million by the Republican Party. Again, underscores the disparity and what a good fundraiser Wickler is. While Brian Schumer is trying to get his feet under him still as a fundraiser compared to Wickler. Two of that $13 million, $9.5 went to Janet Protasiewicz's campaign. It shows you the valuable weapon that he is, and the party apparatus is, with Wickler in charge. His connections to MoveOn.org, along with Governor Evers and the East Wing, is a powerful fundraising team. What's this mean for 2024? Because he'll be in office now until mid-2025. Joe Biden's got to be happy. Timmy Baldwin's got to be happy. If we have new legislative maps, they'll all be happy because he can rain money down on the various candidates for offices. That will help a great deal. So it's good for the party. It's good for Biden. Good for Baldwin. And, it's got to be a challenge for Republicans. They have to figure out a way to answer financially what the party is doing now. If we are in the top five or six states of the presidential race, there'll be plenty of money in Wisconsin. But the party can help fund those local races, right? It's not just about the presidential race. They are a weapon with Ben Wickler in charge.
Right, and with these conventions coming on in a few weeks during a non-election year, or I should say when elections are pretty much over, they're not as eventful, but mm-hmm. there will be a lot of focus, looking ahead to these on the U.S. Senate race. And we've talked about this often, making a turn to the state Republican Party. Their challenge, too, is with fundraising in general. So it's how are they going to excite their base right now when there's not really a lot of eyes on 2024, even though it is in the background a little mm-hmm. bit. And we still just don't know who is going to be the one that steps up to challenge Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah. And so we still, Eric Hovde's talking about it. Scott Mayer's talking about it. People are talking about it. But what I'm watching for is kind of around July 1, July 15. If I go back to 2021, we had Mandela Barnes, Sarah Gajewski, Tom Nelson, and Alex Lazary all in the race by mid-July of mm-hmm. 2021. If you have nobody as Republican running by mid-July, not a great sign. National is still trying to recruit Mike Gallagher. My impression is he hasn't said no, but he's also not rushing to say yes. It's kind of a feeling of like, you have to have everything fall in line perfectly. And we're seeing, like, Marquette University Law School poll out this week had, Biden trailing Trump and DeSantis head-to-head. I mean, it's very early. I take those polls a grain of salt. But there are concerns about Biden's age among even core Democratic voters. So if those things don't go away, if the economy craters, we have this whole thing going in Washington, D.C. about the debt limit, you could have an environment that would be conducive to a challenge Baldwin. But then it sounds like Gallagher and others might want the party to clear the primary field. That's kind of tough to do. It's a big ask. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. But what I'm really watching with convention for Republicans next month is, do we see any signs of Trump or DeSantis putting or the other ones, having a presence at convention? They won't be there. La Crosse is a hard place to get in for national people because, it's not a very big airport. You can fly into Madison or Minneapolis. It's kind of drive there. Et cetera, et cetera. So you don't get big names. But do they have surrogates working the delegates, trying to build that little bit of a foundation with activists ahead of 2024? Because we're not going to matter in January, February, March. But once we clear Super Tuesday, we're in a great spot. We can be a knockout punch for a contender who's not doing very well and kind of like the crowning achievement for somebody who's on the verge of clinching the nomination. In 2016, it was a last stand for the anti-Trump people. Ted Cruz won Wisconsin. It was a big backlash against Trump. Joe Biden Bernie was on his last legs in 2020 here, kept it going, but this was kind of like the end, a formal end. So we could be in a great spot in 2024, that GOP battle, to really say who's going to be the nominee. But it remains to be seen how things go the first part of the spring.
And who's going to be on that RNC stage mm-hmm. In Milwaukee as well. All right, well, that will do it for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
Take care.
This program was brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.